शिवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Okay, I don't know what verse it is.
22.
I think we're ahead of that. Please, here. Okay, 2-8. Vanam Vrindavanam Nama Pashavyam Navakananam Gopa Gopi Gavam Savyam Punyadri Trinavyudam Vanam Vrindavanam Nama Pashavyam Navakananam Gopa Gopi Govam Sevyam Punyadvi Trinavirudam
Vanam
Vrindavanam Nama
Pashavyam Navakananam
Gopa Gopi Gavam Sevyam
Gopa Gopi Gavam
Sevyam
Punyat Tridruna Virudham
Punyat
Tridruna Virudham Another forest. Vrindavanam Nama
Vrindavanam Nama
Named Vrindavan. See, there the word nama is the avyaya form because it doesn't have any ending. See, nama is without an inflection. That's adverb. Otherwise, you can put it at the end of a compound as a noun and have a bahuvri. Then it has to have a vibhakti. The meaning is basically the same. Pashavyam. A very suitable place for maintenance of the cows. And other animals. Navakananam. There are many new garden-like places. Gopa Gopi Gavam.
For all the cowherd men.
The members of their families.
And the cows.
Sevyam.
A very happy, very suitable place.
Punya Adri.
There are nice mountains.
Trina. Plants.
Virudham.
And creepers.
Translation.
Between Nandeshura and Mahavan is a place named Vrindavana. This place is very suitable because it is lush with grass, plants, and creepers for the cows and other animals. It has nice gardens and tall mountains and is full of facilities for the happiness of all, the gopas and gopis and our animals. Purport. Vrindavana is situated between Nandeshwara and Mahavana. Formerly, the cowherd men had shifted to Mahavan from Gokula. But still, there were disturbances. Therefore, the cowherd men selected Vrindavana, which was between the two villages, and decided to go there. They're referring to Vrindavan. It's a large forest. There are other forests contained within it. But according to the way they're using the word here, this is 40 kilometers across. It's basically the whole area from starting with the border of Mathura all the way to Nandishwar and including it. That's all Vrindavan Forest. This is very wise advice being offered by Upananda. It's his idea. He gets the credit. Otherwise, they could have decided to move to Kanpur or someplace else. Thanks to him, they moved to Vrindavan. And Vrindavan has become famous since then. Or it's eternal. What's special about the place? Especially when you look at it nowadays, Mathura district is not very fertile compared to even other districts surrounding it. It's not so great for agriculture. You can't do much with it. You can grow mustard seeds and a little bit of wheat and a few other things, but it's not very good land. It's covered with thorn bushes, inauspicious trees. The water is salty, not drinkable. And the people have harsh voices and speak harshly. They're famous for their insults. So externally the place is not so wonderful. Why did Krishna pick that place? Because it pleases him. Everything and everybody in Vrindavan is intent simply on Krishna's happiness. This is the difference. In Kanpur, people don't care that much about Krishna. So Krishna didn't go there. He'd been on the shore of the Ganga if he went to Kanpur, just 120 kilometers further west, east. But he chose to go west rather than east, because in Vrindavan Forest, everyone is happy only when Krishna's happy. They don't have any other interest. And that's what attracted Krishna, to be there. And that's why he's there eternally. And that's why this is Krishna's favorite place. There are so many other places he can go. And in fact, there are so many other places where he does go. He has his other abodes. He has Vaikuntha. He has Mathura and Dwarka. He has Ayodhya and other abodes. And he's happy there. He's got his devotees who take care of him nicely in all these different places. But in comparison, Vrindavan is the best. What is this one example? Using the locative to compare for comparison or ablative. Compared to this people from this other place, what is it? Not Panchala, but some place where the people are not very good. So, compared to them, the Mathuravasis are better. Ablative. So compared to all the other transcendental abodes, places where he does reside, there are other places where Krishna never goes. There are places that he doesn't go near, that he doesn't like at all. And then there are places where he does reside eternally. So even in comparison to those places where he is eternally present, he prefers, by far, he prefers this Vrindavan forest. Upananda is making the suggestion, but Krishna is putting that suggestion in his head. It's Krishna's desire. Krishna acts for the pleasure of his devotees. So therefore, he leaves Vrindavan sometimes and he goes elsewhere. Because he has devotees elsewhere. And he's obliged to them. He's attracted by their love. And therefore, he goes to Mathura. He goes to Kurukshetra. He goes to Hastinapur. He settles in Dwarka. But as far as Krishna's personal preference, he would rather just be with the cowherds, the men and ladies, and the girls and boys in Vrindavan Forest. This is his favorite place. These are his favorite devotees. This is our business. We think we have so many other concerns. My health, maintaining my family, my career, my future, my reputation. We think we have separate interests, separate from Krishna's happiness. Therefore, our lives are complicated and we're full of anxiety. Simple reason is that we think we have some other interest than Krishna's happiness. Why should we? We're Krishna's devotees. Why don't we make our lives simple and just forget about everything else and worry about Krishna's happiness? Sarvadharman parityajya. This is what Krishna is telling Arjuna. But he's not just telling him, you know, go and fight and, you know, and shoot arrows and kill your enemies. It doesn't apply just to the situation of the battle. This applies to our situation. Sarva Dharma, we're not being asked by Krishna to kill our guru or go out and, you know, fight the battle, literally. You know, sometimes we have to talk to someone harshly. You know, sometimes we have to actually defend, but rarely. We're not, our business, you know, our duty doesn't so much involve defending. We're not defenders. It's not a school for Kshatriyas, you may have noticed. So we don't train up in defense, self-defense or public defense. This is not our training so much. We can defend philosophically. Even that, we're not so much concerned. We're not studying how to defeat enemies in debate. We could, but that's not our emphasis. We want to conquer the world with the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam, which includes a number of good arguments against enemies, but we're not so much in the defensive mode or the fighting mode. Because we're trying a higher strategy, a more sublime strategy. Just see to it that Krishna's happy. Srimad Taksvakata Krishna. When Krishna hears, how can you make Krishna happy? Various ways. You can cook some wonderful sweets for him, or you can go out and distribute 10 million books, or do various things. We're trying this strategy, that Krishna is pleased when his devotees are hearing and chanting about him. Vidyantaksto. He's sitting in the heart and he pays attention. He's actually very pleased when he sees the devotees absorbed in hearing and chanting about him. That's our strategy here. We should try to make our lives very simple. Out there in the rest of the world, and wherever you came from, devotees may be having so many concerns, and they may be quarreling over these concerns, and spending their time and attention to solving their problems of how to maintain their reputation, how to defeat all their enemies, how to collect money for themselves, this and that. But here, let's try to make our lives simple and just try to make Krishna happy by being absorbed in Shravanam Kirtanam. That is the mood of it. We are here in Vrindavan. Nobody's making a decision to move the school someplace else. It's supposed to be here. With all the difficulties that will involve, we're going to establish this school here in Vrindavan Forest. Here is the Govardhan Hill, the forest, and even the Jamuna River, although you can't see it anymore. It's flowing by nearby. There's a boathouse down the street, just a kilometer and a half away toward Radhakund. Krishna's boathouse, because the Jamuna used to flow right there. So we're in the midst of it, and we should, therefore, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. We should pick up the mood of this place, which is, don't worry about everything else, just see to it that Krishna is satisfied. Everything else will get taken care of. Upananda and the other cowherd elders who are now in council are coming to this decision, and Krishna will be very pleased. pleased with it, he will concur with their decision to move to Vrindavan Forest because of their attitude, because they don't have any other interest. So, maybe we'll read a few more verses. I don't know what else to say about this one. What time is it? I can't, my glasses.
10 after.
Only 10 after, okay. So let's read. There's only a purport in verse 32. Well, let's read up to it. Upananda is still speaking. Verse 29. I'll read the verses.
Tatatradyaiva yasyama shakotan yungtamachiram godanani grato yantu bhavatam yadi rochati.
So he's not imposing his opinion. He's saying, if you all like to do this, we can proceed. If you like to do it. Therefore, let us go immediately. Let us immediately go today. No hesitation. They didn't, plan ahead for 2 years. They just went ahead and did it. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting the translation. Therefore, let us immediately go today. There is no need to wait any further. If you agree to my proposal, let us prepare all the bullock carts and put the cows in front of us. And let us go there.
Tatshut vaika diyo gopa sadhu sadviti vadinaha vrajan swan swan samayujiya yayurudha parichada.
Upon hearing this advice from Upananda, the cowherd men unanimously agreed. Very nice, they said, very nice. Thus they sorted out their household affairs, placed their clothing and other paraphernalia on the carts, and immediately started for Vrindavan.
Vidan balan striyo rajan sarvo pakkaranani cha anaks raropya gopala yatta ata sharasana Kodhanani puraskritya shringanya purya sarvataha turya goshena mahata yayuksaha parohita.
Keeping all the old men, women, children, and household paraphernalia on the bullock carts, and keeping all the cows in front, the cowherd men picked up their bows and arrows with great care, and sounded bugles made of horn. O King Parikshit, in this way, with bugles vibrating all around, the cowherd men, accompanied by their priests, began their journey.
Why do they blow bugles when you're on the road?
Post office. You see, in Europe, all the countries, they have this symbol of a post horn. French horn in the orchestra is actually originates from this post horn. So the mail wagon, they blow this horn. Why? Horn please. Thank you, Tata. Horn please. Thank you, Tata. But why? Wild animals or anybody else is on the road, get out of the way. We're coming. Especially if you're going fast. So the mail, stagecoach that carries the mail has to go very fast. The idea is deliver the mail so it gets there the next day. So it has to go very fast. So they got to rush down the road. They blow this horn to make everybody else get out of the way. So they're also, this is a big procession. They don't want to waste time. They're on the road and they're ready to go, and they want to cover some ground, so they're blowing all their horns to clear the road.
Okay, purport. Yes? Which road? Highway 2. I don't know. I don't know if they had... They must have had some path. There must be a path that goes from much... I don't know. They couldn't have gone through the city. They must have gone around Mathura, but there must be a, there must have been a road. Otherwise, they couldn't travel through the jungle. So there was some ancient road going to Nandishwara. First, they're going up to Chatikara. It's the same route. It's Highway 2, National Highway, but it, you know, it wasn't. It was called something else back then. Purport. In this connection is to be noted that although the inhabitants of Gokula were mostly cowherd men and cultivators, they knew how to defend themselves from danger and how to give protection to the women, the old men, the cows, and the children, as well as to the Brahminical Purohitsas. They were Vaishyas, but it doesn't mean they were completely incapable of self-defense. This is Vedic culture. The men are real men and the women are real women. There's no artificial attempt to obliterate the difference. Men are supposed to defend the women and children and the old men and the brahmanas. It's not an excuse, oh, that's business only of the kshatriyas. I'm a brahmana, therefore I can neglect my wife and children. If you're going to take wife and children, you're supposed to defend them, maintain them, and defend them against anyone who's abusing them. Anyway, this is the grand procession moving to Vrindavana. Great festification. Krishna and Balaram will read in the next few verses how Krishna and Balaram are riding on the bullock cart with Rohini and Yashoda. They're still very young boys. How old is Krishna now? Three, maybe. Is he that old? Is he that old? 3 years and 4 months old. So such a boy of that age still has to be protected carefully by his mother. A three-year-old boy cannot go wandering around by himself too much. Maybe he can be allowed out in the yard with the other boys. But the mother has to keep a constant eye on a boy that's only 3 years old. So they're riding on the cart with their two mothers, Yashoda and Rohini. They're still very, very helpless little boys. But they're taking great pleasure in this trip. Children like to take a trip. Sometimes they get bored on the way, but this is not a long trip. You know, sometimes children get bored after a long trip. When are we going to get there? But this is just about a one-day trip. I don't know how many days. It should take about 1 day to reach Chatikar. And they see some wonderful things. Vrindavanam, Govardhanam, Yamuna Polunani Cha. What is the verse? Let me see if I can find the verse. Yeah, verse 36. Vrindavanam Govardhanam, Yamuna Polunani Cha, Vikshya Seed, Uttama Priti, Rama Madhava Yornripa. O King Parikshit, when Rama and Krishna saw Vrindavana, Govardhan, and the banks of the river Jamuna, they both enjoyed great pleasure, seeing for the first time. This is their eternal abode, but there's pleasure in separation. That Krishna and Balaram took birth somewhere a little bit away, and only after 3 years did they finally get to see their favorite places. This increases the pleasure, this separation. Purva Raga.
the pleasure of anticipating something that you haven't obtained yet. So this sight, it's just to see these favorite places. Krishna is enjoying the anticipation and the excitement of seeing for the first time. Hare Krishna. Okay, yes, questions, comments.
About the point you made in the beginning, that the place is externally very difficult, both the water and the weather and the people. And Krishna Balaram, they was telling me that he made some friendship with Vrajabhas' children. And he said, when they become your friend, they start insulting you in so many ways. They call you bad names and they're very harsh.
Yes.
And it's very funny because he's like not very polite.
Because he doesn't give him enough sweets.
Yeah.
you had to give him trophies, and then he'll talk to you in seconds.
So I was thinking that the communities in Brazil that I know, many of them, they have problems because devotees who join in the beginning, many of them were not very well educated, people coming from different backgrounds, sometimes poor people were not well educated. So nowadays they have a lot of problems because of uncivilized behavior. People do crazy things.
Are devotees?
Yeah, devotees. They are devotees. They gave their life. They are giving their lives to Krishna. But still, because they don't know how to behave civilized in a civilized way, they have many problems. And in one place, they are very concerned about make the devotees first behave properly, like good human beings, and like they organize seminars about human values, how we should behave, how to treat each other, and they organize some seminars trying to have an upgrade in that way.
Yes.
So, but the real qualification, as you are pointing out, is that one should love Krishna, even if he is not very polite and if he's harsh and uneducated, but the real qualification is to love Krishna. So how should we
Well, it's not that we should be uncivilized. That to be a Brijbasi means to be uncivilized. The eternal, the spirit, you know, the actual associates, eternal associates of Krishna, are not crude, low-class people. Sometimes they're called abhiras. And abhira means, because there's vaishyas and then there's outcasts. There's two kinds of cowherds, according to Radha Krishna Ganodesh Deepika of Rupa Goswami. There are the Vaishya Gopalas, and then there are the Abiras and Pulindas, the outcasts. And sometimes the community of Nandamaraj are called Abiras, but that's sort of not polite, because they're really proper Vaishyas. They're proper, they're noble Vaishyas, and they've got some Kshatriya blood in them too. You know, they can defend themselves. They're walking around with bows and arrows, which is not, you don't see most Vaishyas walking around with bows and arrows. Some of the children make little bows, you know, with reeds, and they can hurt. If they shoot you in one of those reeds, little bows made of sticks. But normally, Vaishya, the typical Vaishya is not carrying weapons. But these cowherds have got some Kshatriya blood in them, so they're noble. They're honest. Their hearts are very sweet, and we can't just judge by superficial external appearances. They're not low-class people. Neither should our devotees be. We should rectify our bad conditioning as much as possible. What is practical accomplishing that is that there has to be leadership. 99% of the population may be low-class, but if you have a few aristocratic persons, they can keep it under control. They can guide those who are by nature not so civilized. You need some civilized leaders to keep everyone else, you know, within the bounds of proper human behavior. So ISKCON needs that very much. We need spiritual leadership. We need devotees who are functioning as Vaishyas we got. We need devotees who are functioning as Brahmins and Kshatriyas, behaving nobly and giving example and guidance. So the other devotees who, you know, their background is not so great, can be guided and kept kept within limits, so we don't, make a bad impression on the world. We're supposed to preach. It means make a good impression, not a bad impression. Yeah, it takes leadership, and leadership has to be trained. It doesn't fall out of the sky. But you were beat. You were beat. He has his Madan Mohan had his hand up first. Yes. Please. Yeah, you had your hand up first. Yes.
And how we tend sometimes to project those features onto the real mood of Vrindavan we are supposed to be in. And maybe some things and some, overlap will be there, but to which extent should we draw such far
fish? We have to see beyond the surface. If we indiscriminately just accept the surface as the essence, then we'll get in serious trouble. If we think we're supposed to behave like everybody else, that means don't observe a codicil. Be intoxicated, half the time. Yeah. We shouldn't follow that standard. So we have to see below the surface. There's something in the hearts of the Vrijavasis, some special sweetness and attachment to Krishna, despite all the bad behavior on the outside. That we have to delve in. We have to be able to see through the part that we're not supposed to copy and find the essence of the mood. It's there. We have to see deeply. We can't indiscriminately just judge by what we see on the outside. Otherwise, come to Vrindavan, take one look and run away. You want to get on the next train out when you come here the first time. Many devotees came for the, even devotees who have dedicated their lives to stay here their whole lives. The first time they came, they said, what am I doing here? And they were very eager to get out. And I'll never come back to this place. That later they changed their mind. Because at first we just see the externals. And we have to understand, we have to project onto Vrindavan what it's supposed to be. We can't just accept it as it is. At least we are sadhakas. Others can ignore the rules because they've got some special relationship with Krishna. But we can't do that. We do have to observe ekadasi. We do have to follow the other rules and regulations. That's our way to approach Krishna. And if we think we can throw that away and become spontaneous lovers of Krishna without any rules and regulations, then we're going to fall down. We'll commit serious offenses if we take that path. Yes. I mean, he did accuse Balaram of lying. Balaram and the other boys were lying. I didn't do that. I didn't eat. I didn't steal the butter. I didn't eat the dirt. But he did it in a sweet way. Yes. 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 They don't belong to Brahman proper to, Yes. Yeah. And what, you know, you, which do you prefer? Someone, you know, calls you bad names, but he has actual respect for you and concern for you. You know, the one favorite epithet, you know, one of the more mild epithets is Shala, brother-in-law. Or in, you know, translate that in English, it's equivalent of son of a bitch. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's in every sentence. You know, Shala, yeah. Sala. The wise brother, which is a great insult. The wise brother is a fool, always. You know, of course, everybody is somebody's wife's brother, but anyway, the wise brother is always a jerk. You know, to call someone that is a great insult. It's a mild insult among the, you know, the repertoire, but it's used all the time. Now, somebody may be calling you this and that, you know, brother, you know, calling you son of a bitch in every sentence, but he actually has respect for you, and he actually, when you're in trouble, he'll help you. Would you rather have that or a person who speaks sweetly but is stabbing you in the back? Yeah. So. Yes. Okay. Well, then you can go to Dwarka. There's some politics there too. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Then they put each other the color.
Yes. It's a culture of insult. Yes. Nintendo?
You mentioned the
question
of
the road house. Yeah, it's. Oh. You know where the road splits, where there's a bus station?
Yeah.
Just about 300 meters closer to Radhakund down the road. And there's some Babaji's there, have their huts. You can see Govardhan very close. You know, it's a little rocky there. You can see a sign in Hindi. It says boathouse. Now, I don't know, what is it called? Nauka something.
Any deities there, some Shilas?
Well, there's some Babaji's there. They might have something. They might be worshipping some Shila there.
So Yamuna was flowing there?
Yeah. Of course, Yamuna was also flowing into Manasi Ganga, I think, also.
Isn't there a canal on Yamuna?
There's a canal, yeah, but that's close. That's just outside Radhakunda, that the water comes from the Yamuna. There's a canal, now parallel to Govardhan, a little bit, the road that goes to Sonk, there's a canal running right in the middle there. Like 400 meters from Govardhan and 400 meters from the road. But I don't think that's Yamuna water. That's coming from Agra. Now, they're all little canals, and several of them are all over the place.
They show that road, Govardhan, you go to the map.
Yes.
And you're Radhakund, like when you go on the first time,
yes.
You go over the bridge.
Yeah.
So they say that that's a canal of Yamuna.
I think it is, yes. So that's Yamuna water. But it used to run even closer. 5,000 years ago. Yeah, the actual river did. Krishna, Krishna saw the Yamuna, you know, as he was coming into Vrindavan. Yes?
I have two questions. First one is the bongo, Krishna's bongo.
It's what? Bugle.
Why is it used?
Is it used to, I don't know, used to call cows? I don't know, what is the bugle used for? It's fun. You toot their bugles, but I don't know what practical use it has.
Okay.
Nobody knows?
I guess.
They like to make musical, you know, ad hoc musical instruments out of leaves and little canes just to play. But I don't know. I mean, why a cowherd boy should have a buffalo horn, I don't know. They got flutes. Why they also need a horn, I don't know.
Flute doesn't produce a
Yeah, I guess for bigger distances. Yeah, for long distance calls. Yeah, it's an STD. Yeah. I don't. But I remember. Yes.
It's not available for the gratification of anybody.
No. So, it's not a tourist resort.
Yeah. So
Rajadham is not, doesn't look like a tourist resort.
Can we see that as something like, just like we have Gaurakishan Daswami Maharaj? Gaurakishan Daswami Maharaj, we hear of his responses to
yes. To scare materialists away. So yes, this is Yogamaya making all these arrangements to scare the materialists away. They're not going to want to come here. You know, they'll come. You know, they come in their tourist cars sometimes. You know, going to see the Taj Mahal, and they stop in Vrindavan or somewhere on the road, and the people get out of the car and take one look and say, "Okay, let's get out of here. You know, let's move on." They don't want to, the materialists don't want to stop here. But it's Yogamaya's duty to keep the materialists out. You know.
So, you reconcile the sheltering aspect.
But the shelter is actually available to those who are devoted to Krishna. The materialists, you know, they can go worship Narayana or see Krishna in the temple, but if you want entrance into Vrindavan, you have to be devoted and surrendered. You have to get your act together if you want to actually be allowed to enter Vrindavan. Shelter, but shelter is offered to those who've earned it. Well, yes, but the energies of Radha Krishna are pretty strict. They don't let anybody, just anybody, barge in directly. You can get the mercy of Radha Krishna indirectly. I mean, it's from the outside. But if you actually want to enter the Dham, you gotta be fit. You gotta earn your way in. You can worship Radha Krishna in Kanpur or some other place. Yeah. But if you want to enter Vrindavan and actually enter it, then you have to be surrendered and actually attracted and serious about pleasing Krishna. You can't come in thinking you're just gonna enjoy yourself. And Krishna, you're going to use Krishna for your pleasure. Then you won't be allowed to stay. You can come and, you know, we'll take your money. You can come in and spend your money here and go away. But you won't be allowed to stay. If you're coming with an exploitive mood, you want to exploit Krishna like you exploit everybody else. Not allowed. You can come and take a visit, but you got to get out after a short time. Yes. Okay, well, sorry. First Madan Mohan, then Prahladananda. Okay. Prahladananda Prabhu. Yes. Mayavadi sannyasis. Yeah. I don't know whether we can assume that all the monkeys are former Mayavadi sannyasis. Mayavadi sannyasis become monkeys, but it doesn't mean that all the monkeys were. Some of them may be... Which? Yeah. So you know you had their Brijbasis, you do have to respect them in your heart. But if you're nice to these monkeys, they'll take advantage of you. They'll just show you your teeth and, you know, and try to bite you. So you can't be too nice to them. That's just the situation. You know, you have to externally show, you know, be harsh to them. I mean, you want to start feeding the monkeys, okay, but that's, you know, there are too many monkeys here. In Vrindavan, people are living in the houses, and the monkey comes to the window. The window's locked. The monkey can't get in. And then he might feed him a banana or a chapati. But when you got an open courtyard, and you're nice to the monkeys, they'll take over the house. As soon as you step out of the house, they'll come in and rip everything to shreds. So you can't be nice to them in that situation. You got to keep them, you know, in fear of you. Otherwise, they'll come, you know, second, you know, if you walk outside the house for 1 hour, they'll come in and tear everything down. I don't think it's necessary to carry a stick. I just came this morning and there was 50 monkeys on the road. I just, begged their, apologies and walked by them. You know, you can just, they're not always picking a fight. If you let them know that you're just minding your own business and they won't bother you. As long as you're not carrying something very attractive to steal. Dogs. And they're bothering you? Yeah. And a dog bother you? Try to attack you? Yes. Yeah, but you can threaten. You can throw something at them. You don't have to hit them. You don't have to do any violence. You can just threaten violence. You know? Just throw something at them. You don't have to actually hit them. Monkeys, sometimes you have to hit them to teach a lesson. You know, actually hit them with something. Then they'll stay away for a week. Yeah, you have to show that you have to scare them. You don't have to actually hurt them, but you have to scare them if they're threatening to attack. It's like that, what, the story of the serpent who became a devotee? And then he went to his guru and said, everyone's beating me because of my past reputation. You know, so I'm just getting beaten by everyone because now I'm non-violent. So the guru told him, you show your fangs. Don't bite anybody, but scare them. Yeah, wood, yeah. So you have to scare them, but don't actually bite them. Dogs actually attack? Yeah, you throw a rock, throw a couple of rocks, and they'll run away.
Sometimes they're feared also.
Really? Yeah. Then don't go down that road.
Sometimes they just want fighting.
Really?
Start rolling back.
Well, that's their territory then. You have to respect it. Yes.
Generally, the riders have seen, they teach them a lesson. If any dog is just fierce, I've seen that after some days, it has one leg broken. Somebody
broken leg.
Yeah.
Yes.
Many dogs are on, yeah, one leg is broken.
Because someone broke it?
Yeah, because they must have attacked somebody like that.
Oh. Okay. That's a little harsh. I don't know if we should be doing the breaking the legs of the dogs, but. Yeah. I don't know. Oh. Go ahead.
About the discussion about people or creatures living in Vrindavan. If I'm not mistaken, Bhagavan Swami asks this question for Nityananda in Al-Nibu Mahatma.
Yes, that's Navadvip, yes.
And he does ask about the nature of the Dham, and especially the Dham, how to reconcile the nature of the Dham with this. So it's the number of people who seem to be out of place here.
Yes.
Shell or covering,
yes,
layer, and
yes.
They do not
Okay.
Yes.
We can't tell very easily. We can't always tell who's who here. Some people who seem very ordinary may be very great advanced devotees. And if we even get angry at them or even think we don't like them, that's aparad against a great person, maybe. We never know who we're picking a quarrel with. So therefore, we have to be very careful here. Better show respect to everybody. You know, when you have to show your hood, okay, but do even that respectfully.
But we follow certified rijabasis, those who are certified.
But who's giving the certification? You know, if it's just popular opinion, it may not be right. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. 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 That's a standard. We can measure against it. Yes. Thank you. Okay, we better stop. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.